Major Perkin, Reel 2. I think you were telling me about the regimental Subedar Major.
Her Naam Singh. And I recall now, a long time ago, but I was told that he joined the regiment sometime just after all, in the period of the First World War. And he brought his whole company with him. He immediately made Subedar, because he brought his own company. But I don't remember anymore, I just remember being told that.
Now, you were in Karachi in 1940, and later on you referred to the fact you were in India at the time of partition. Now, in 1940, was there any sign of communal tension or religious tension that you were aware of at the time?
Certainly, not in the army. Never in the army. So he starts pissing about his problem. I don't think it was about that much. My father is in the police, and he was over in Eastern India, Bengal, Prime Minister, and he was used to self-governed. Had forgotten what it's called now. They were started having trouble with Gandhi. In fact, I think my father put Gandhi in jail one day.
This was the Congress movement.
Yes.
What was the religious composition of your regiment? Were they all?
There were 50% Muslim. 25% Sikhs and 25% Dogas, Hillman.
Was there ever any trouble between the religious
denominations? Not even during the partition period. I had no trouble at all. They didn't.
How were they organised? Were they in mixed platoons and companies, or were they? Did you have religious conformity within the companies?
It came out of divide and rule, but each company had a chief company, all Sikhs, Doga company, all the other. We had one chief company, one Doga company, and two Muslim companies. The headquarters company had to have a mixer, had Sikhs to and various appointments. Had to be taken out in turn by theirs, with two of the three costs.
That sounds a little bit complicated.
Yes, it was. I never wanted that. It's a Colonel's problem, not mine. But it was a system. It didn't work out very well.
Now, you served in various companies. I think you said at one time you were in charge of four different companies.
Yes.
Did you notice that these religious communities had distinct characteristics in the way in which they did things, or did they all behave in the same way because of the training and discipline?
Not the slightest.
But in their characteristics, in the way in which they thought about things and did things, did you notice that they were? Were there any differences that were ascertainable to the observer?
Who I became very fond of them, were the most troublesome.
Troublesome?
Yes. If you left them over too long, they would think up something to do. And I had it once or twice. And you had to, misbehaved, his punishment would be at least twice as severe as the Muslim ones or two. But they knew it. They knew they were troublemakers.
What kind of trouble did they get themselves into?
They used to drink, of course. They used to drink. Might go to a mutiny. kept them busy. Later on, I commanded in its casino, and afterwards in Haifa. I had with them wonderful tribes. But I, everyone else was thinking that I maybe get off on extra drills or marches. I always went with them. I could never say I didn't do it. I did with them. And my orderly was told to tell me if there's any drinking going on in the regiment.
Sounds rather like dealing with a Scottish Highland regiment.
Yeah. And, that's why my board had come at me about 10 o'clock. I was a dinky guy. I'd go off the mess, get a bottle of whiskey, and by chance, run into this tent where these people were drinking. And I joined them. I sat there drinking with them till the early hours. And then PC was come up at 6:30. I made them go out and do the myself. I made them do handstands, front rolls, everything. And they knew very well what I was up to.
So they just had too much energy for their own good, effectively.
Yeah.
Need to be kept busy.
Yes, it had to be kept busy. You had to keep it there. You couldn't just sit around doing nothing.
What was the general level of military skills in the battalion when you joined it?
Well, it was there's nothing but during the day the period consisted of rather than ever. So, entirely small arms practice and drill. And you did the very elementary tactics, sort of tactics. But all these Indians, we call them all Indians in those days, not Pistol officer, everyone who was in the subcontinent was Indian. They're doing this day after day, year after day, and they do exactly what they do.
What was the weaponry and equipment of the battalion at that stage?
Lee M203, Bren gun. When I first started, the Lewis gun, but a very short time, then the took over. The mortars. We had no transports whatsoever.
No transport?
Yeah, but eight chargers, horses, which officers used on General Miller's crusade, and a lot of mules. And not a single truck vehicle on the 10th of Zone. When I joined the battalion, the adjutant met me in his car, took him into my old quarters. The luggage was considered a big, large tin tunt, which was put onto a great big platform, towed by a camel. And so we had some camels in the senses. And that took about an hour to get back to my quarters.
What were your quarters like?
We called them chumleys. Denny, about, I went to try it in the skinning up down the south, and in the army, Kigati, both of them were two sort of business buildings, but three rooms on top, three rooms under the sixth of them. That room, because it's quite a big room. It had a bed, standard, it all had the same. Anyway, a bed, upside chair, a table. We had a long wicker chair, and a span, which is on permanently, And it has a bathroom with a kitted room with a cement floor and a gasoline tin tub with our bath and a tripod on which was you provided a basin, dot basin. In one corner was a lavatory seat, which went under the thunder box, with a bucket on the seat. And a sleeper would come and empty the bucket 2 times a day when it was dry. No running water. No flush toilet or any of that. Your water is a dug. There were lights. In other parts of India, my father, when he was in Inspector General of Police, he had a large bungalow, but that was still in a bucket system, and parasol and things like that.
How did the water arrive? Did it have to be carried up?
Yes, between the six of us, you had a bearer, and you had the bearer's assistant, which is a boy about 12 years or 4 years old. Choker. And in addition to that, the six of us employ a guard there, a water carrier, or boosty, and a speaker. And we paid their machines.
Did you live mainly in the mess with your fellow officers, or did you go out at all?
Yes, because in India, life revolves around the cub, which was everything. Our life was built on that cub. It provided the social life. You met other people, and you played golf, or tennis, or swim, etc. All your bills at the shop, your drinks, never pay cash or sign a ticket, which is put on the pub bill. And that pub bill was then resent to your regiment, which is put on the mess bill. We had to pay that the tenth of each month.
Yes.
Because at times they leave the town in the cinema of petrol, with the car in those days, but any was in town, you just signed a bit of paper, and that finished off, went to the club first and then the regiment. So everything got paid for it.
Everything was on the chit system.
Yeah.
Was there anything to do in Karachi itself, beyond the club? Anything to attract you there?
No, not at all. Not at all. There was quite a big town, but it's bizarre. No, there wasn't anything to do.
I think you started getting involved in the war as such when you were sent to Egypt, Middle East forces. How much warning did you have that you were going to be sent off to Egypt?
When I was in the 16th Punjab in Karachi, after a while I was entitled to my 2 and 3s.
Yes.
So I went up to Kashmir,
right,
to Gulna, where my father, he couldn't go back to England because of the war. So he went up there, took my two sisters, and he asked me to go up with him. He would say he would pay the hotel bills, which suited me fine, and I went out there. And we're talking about June, July 1940. Wars still have secretaries living evil. And I went up there. All of us subtitles up there was being called after every now and again. Telegrams arrived, and that's it. And eventually my telegram arrived. After I'd done 6 weeks on my holiday, I was caught with this hall back to Karate. There, the battalion was sent down to Secunderabad in Deccan.
What was it doing there? Was there any particular reason for going there?
I had no idea. Mm. I can't go, maybe. I don't by the way, though, because it was three balls. Anyway, when I was there, I fell out with the second in command of the battalion.
You fell out? How did that happen?
Well, he didn't get on well.
Why not?
I was a 21 year old. I had my 21st birthday in Castria, and I was all doing the rosters, thrown in the flesh of senior rosters on principle. And I was no different than anyone else. He was a big as a man, and he didn't like it, and he started to pick on me. In the end, I just looked at him, stared at him. He didn't like it at all, and he reported me for study of incidents. Brought me the key of Dickens, Prince's Trough. But when the time came to, well, the trio left, another one came, a new one. And this second round was putting the new CEO in the picture. And the secretary to send her off to the Middle East to reinforcements for the upper salary in the Middle East. And I was immediately which is lucky.
You were chosen because you were being a nuisance.
I was a bad nuisance, yes. Mm. And not showing up respect.
That's a terrible thing, not showing respect.
No, he's a silly man.
Mm. Were you upset by being sent off to Egypt?
I was a bit, yes. But I thought I was happy about the town, which I not wanted, because I want them. In fact, I was very, very lucky. Because that battalion then, after I left, sent to the land, all put it back. So I was very, very lucky.
A fortunate escape.
Very, very fortunate, yes.
So you were sent to Egypt, and how did you get to Egypt?
Well, from Secunderabad, I went to Bombay, where I got on the troop lift. I was just put in charge of about 100 to 200 sepoys also going out to at reinforcements. And easy to go. No trouble on that, the Germans. Some of these had a god as far as the Indian Ocean. They arrived in Suez. On the very day, the 9th of December, 1940. And the rebels pushed off in the desert towards Tel Aviv. But we called it, didn't take part in it at all.
What were your first impressions of Egypt?
Well, I don't remember any. From the rise of, we sent out the Mina camp, which is the Indian Army reinforcement camp, just below the pyramids.
Yes.
And to begin, not a very big crowd. hold 200 people, 200-300, but there's a big loss on the little town. We lived in tents. It was cold at that time of the year. One incident I've always remembered, not to do, well, not really relevant. On Christmas Day, I went to the Vienna House Hotel, see if there was any party going on there. Got there, and there were a lot of people in the rare well of the hotel, and we all drinking away. I looked up at the balcony above and saw two little girls up there. I thought, got two soft drinks, one was upstairs, went to them, sat down there, took them. Well, about a quarter of an hour, not more than that. One girl must have been about, 14 or his younger sister. Anyway, after about 20 minutes, I've been enjoying my friends down below. Thought not more of it. I went on to the Irritant campaign, two Devon campaigns, and the hard old Sulta about 3 or 4 days later. I went back to Alex, a friend of mine, getting married. So I went to his reception. One of them put a tap on my shoulder. Turned out a very pretty girl there. He said, do you remember me? I said, no. Sure, you came out and brought me some drinks. I've been in a hotel 3 or 4 years ago on that. I recognized you as soon as I saw you. And we talked about 50 minutes. He's a memory. It's irrelevant.
So you were at Mina House. Were you at the Mina camp? Were you destined for any particular unit when you went there? Were you en route to any particular battalion or unit when you went?
My battalion. I joined the 3rd battalion of the 6th in Karate. Now their 4th battalion was out in the Middle East.
Right.
Now by the members of the 4th Indian Division. Yes, I was just going to do it.
But first you went to Mina camp for a while.
Yeah, to go on. Everyone went, all regiments had their reinforcements there.
So it was the transit camp?
Yes.
How long were you there before you moved on to join the battalion?
Not a month. Mm. Not a month. And then I was sent down the battalion down to this is Sudan, where they were boys for the Irritant campaign. Mm. I joined outside Omdurman.
Omdurman. Mm. How did you get down to Omdurman?
By boat. Suez down to Port Sudan.
Yes.
And so they have a trade center. Apart on the way, the trains, it's gone through a junction called Higher Junction. Miles anywhere. The two lines joined up there. They had about RTO.
Yes.
And it turned out he was a staff who attended, you see. I won't mention his name. He came from a very good, a very long army family, film master and so forth. But I didn't know him, Sam. I never saw him. Mm. He's in my company, I heard of him. But he didn't make a grade. Mm. And he was upset that he got the station pedal to be out there. Later, I met that a year later, less than that. I was on there, too. I did it all to be on the court pastor. Went there, I do anybody. I was a junior officer, a brigadier, and I was a lieutenant. And so who says come in with this step from high up, you know, a charge. And that prejudice was good old and Mrs. Set an eye, reservation those days. What is it out of there?
What had he done? Do you know what brought him to that?
Well, he was defending himself.
Yes.
And he'd had a fracas with the prestige and drinking. And he called in his bassette a French girl who could treat some ladies, but carry on film. She's looking at all the officers, putting on a skirt, all that going on. And he made up all hell of a story how he just hadn't done nothing. He christened her. As you see, he defended himself, and on and on and on. I didn't agree the bill. It's so improbable, his story. And then at the end of the trial, the brigadier said, well, now we've got to retire. We should give them up. My duty was the junior officer to his men. I thought, I thought just guilty. All the others said not guilty. As big as they are, I agree with the junior officer, but I'd be overruled by others, so he got off.
He got off.
Got off.
He was lucky.
Yes. About 2 weeks later or so, I was in a pub or a hotel in Alexandria and saw him. And I asked him, and he said, I recognize him. He didn't know me, but he knew me by name, face. I recognized his presenter, and I decided not to exempt you on this course, because you'd be on my side. What happened out there? He said, I've done a newt. I hell of a say that, but he's going sort of.
So you got down to your battalion there at Omdurman. What were they doing when you joined them there?
Nothing. They been there long. Do you want to just go off?
What did your new battalion do when you got there? What did they do with you?
I don't remember what they were doing, but I do remember the night before I arrived, a civilian had been murdered.
Murdered?
By two of the sea boys, a Sikh. And the reason being that in the army, the soldiers are very keen on their promotion, and they great insult if they don't get promoted in due course in their time comes. This estate, a lance-like, has been passed over for promotion.
So, yes.
And they never made the business officers, always made the Indian officers, and they have BCOs. And this BCO, in charge of the Sikh company, or second command of the ship, he came in, and he was there, by a group of about three or four, I believe. All this was going on now, and the next day. But otherwise, I don't remember doing anything there, because we went there along, and then we went off the campaign.
What post were you given when you were...